We're going to be chatting to three different guests about the significance of the awards, what to expect from the ceremony, who they think the front runners might be if they're prepared to nail their colours to the mast on that one. It's a very warm welcome to our guests this afternoon. Firstly, to Makhosazana Kanyile, who is the CEO of the National Film and Video Foundation, to Nomsa Peliso, who is Channel Director at Mnet of Local Entertainment, and to Pat van Heerden, who is the Channel Head at S3 within the SABC stable. All three of you, a very warm welcome to the show today, and thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Thanks, Pippa.
Nomsa, great to have you with us as well. Welcome.
Thank you, Pippa. Thanks for having us.
And Pat, to you as well. Really looking forward to hearing your thoughts on the nominees this year. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I'm going to start with Makhosazana, if I may, for a bit of an overview of the SAFTAs, because she is the CEO of the National Film and Video Foundation, who are, of course, the organizers of this event. And it might feel like we've had them forever, Makhosazana, but it's, what is it, 15 years this year that you're celebrating?
Yeah, only 15 years. So I think when you think about other award shows globally, you would really say the SAFTAs are in their infancy, right? Because mm-hmm. I think the Oscars are on their 95th or something odd year. But I think as much as we're only in our 15th year, the industry has grown in leaps and bounds. And, you know, I was listening to you talking about, or rather reflecting on some of the shows that have made an impact in people's lives. And I think when you think about where we come from with those productions and with the vast talent that we have in the country from our production practitioners, I think the industry has really come a long way. And I think the credibility around the SAFTAs as well has grown, and the Golden Horn itself has grown in terms of stature and gravitas and what it can do for an individual's career once you have won this Golden Horn, you know. So yeah, absolutely, the industry has grown.
That was going to be one of the things I wanted to ask you about, what it really means to someone to win the Golden Horn and to be acknowledged as a SAFTA winner. Obviously, everybody likes to be patted on the back and said, we see that you did a good job, we noticed it, well done. But beyond that, what does it mean for an individual's career to take home one of these awards these days?
I mean, I think you only need to look at how the industry over the years has opened up. To be able to say on your CV that you're a SAFTA nominee or a SAFTA winner, it will always be a part of your CV, right? And so I think it goes along with the kind of roles that you would then get, the kind of productions that you would then get, the respect that your name carries when you are part of a production. So I think it does a lot, a great deal for actors and actresses in our industry. And it's something that I think both the industry as well as the viewers look forward to see who will be rewarded. And absolutely, when you're recognized by your peers, because our entire judging system is made up of industry experts that are then divided into the different categories that they can then judge, you know, so you know that it is an absolute nod from your peers to be recognized. So I think it carries quite a lot of weight.
And it's quite an extensive list this year. I mean, Makhosazana, when I was going through the list of nominees before the show to sort of get my head around who is nominated in which characters, in categories, I soon realized I needed a printed copy in front of me because it's a very, very long list indeed. How many awards are you actually giving out this time round?
Gosh, the absolute list, I'm going to check as I'm talking to you, but as you indicate, it's quite a lot of nominees that we'll be going through, but it also speaks to the number of entries that we received. In total, we had 213 judges that were working right across Cape Town, Johannesburg, as well as Durban, just to sift through the number of entries received. And I think what we did as well this year was increase the categories, and we now have an online and digital category. Mm-hmm. And you'll see that leading the nominees this year is a show that premiered on Netflix, for instance. You know, with the disruptions of COVID last year, quite a number of our practitioners had to rethink their distribution strategies. And I think it just, you know, it can only mean better competition for the industry. It can only mean better opportunities and better access for all of our practitioners is the way we are going with local productions. And I think also what's amazing in terms of the categories is that we shifted the dates for SAFTAs to enable the broadcasters to have a lot more work that they can enter into the awards. Because of COVID disruptions last year, a number of productions were halted, you know, so we also had to adjust our timelines because ordinarily the awards would be held in March and we are hosting the awards in May. But I think the sheer volume of the nominees also speaks to the resilience of our industry in terms of being able to start to bounce back given all of the disruptions from COVID.
Yeah. And we'll be talking to big industry players in a few minutes about their categories that they've got shows nominated in and about the, you know, what they've seen in the past year. Makhosazana, it's been an unthinkable year for the arts and entertainment industry. Everything about the way they work had to change, had to stop for a while, had to restart in a new guise. The awards themselves, no different. As you've mentioned, a date change, one of the things that's different, but that's not all. Tell us about how you've adapted the actual ceremony itself this year.
Sure, absolutely. So I think, you know, with the awards season that we have seen, a number of international awards also had to change their formats. And we've adapted a similar look and feel in that parts of the show will be pre-recorded and parts of the show will be live. We will absolutely not have an audience, keeping in line with COVID-19 regulations and social distance requirements. And so it will be a hybrid, but the show on Friday, on the 21st of May, which is the Craft Awards, will exclusively be online. And of course, then the show on Saturday will be the simulcast on SABC, on S3 rather, and Mzansi Magic. And I think that even the entertainment and even the lineup of the hosts speaks to, I think, really our executive producer and the production team really applying themselves in terms of how do you keep a show entertaining for a whole 2 hours when there's no live audience, you know? So I know they will kill me if I give too much away in terms of what they are planning, but I can assure you that it's going to be an absolutely magical show.
The theme this year of still shining, I think highly appropriate, a reminder that the stars are still out, even though they've had a really difficult year to shine against, Makhosazana.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the fact that we also have a red carpet, you know, so it just, I think for all of us and for our practitioners, just says we've come through a rough year. We are still in it, you know, knee deep in it, but let's celebrate, let's shine. And, you know, television has had an amazing resurgence the world over the past 5 years or so. And I think if you look at the quality of the work produced, if you look at the talent behind those that are telling these stories, if you look at how some of these shows trend every time they are on television, there's no doubt that television has a major influence, you know, and I was reminiscing when I was listening to you that my absolute favorite show of all time is an oldie, but it's goodie, and it's Good is Nice with Joe Masella. I can watch it over and over again, but I think the talent and the depth of storytelling has absolutely, you know, grown, and we are absolutely shining.
I love it. That's a show that's coming up several times, actually, on our SMS line and WhatsApp line from other listeners who it's a favorite. Yizo, somebody else saying the gods must be crazy. Trompi, that one goes back a very long way indeed. Makhosazana, one thing I should have asked is about who qualifies for a SAFTA. I mean, when I was talking about favorite local productions, you know, I immediately thought Black Sails. And then I went, well, does that qualify as a South African production? It was shot here. It had a lot of South African actors in it and a lot of South African crew working on it, but it was an overseas firm involved in making it. How do you actually designate who qualifies to earn a SAFTA?
Sure. It has to be a local production 100%, you know. So the international shows that get shot in South Africa, unless it is a co-production and it is classified as a co-production so that there's a 50-50 ownership, then it can be classified as a South African co-production and certified as such. But for the number of international I suppose, productions that shoot in the country, those would not necessarily be South African productions. So it has to be a local production that is 100% owned in the country.
Okay. We're in conversation with Makhosazana Khanyile, who is the CEO of the National Film and Video Foundation. They're the hosts of the SA Film and Television Awards, which are taking place next weekend. As you've heard her mention, the Craft Awards are happening on Friday, and our own colleague Tracy Langer, one of the hosts of that, we heard yesterday. And then the big cheeses, the best actress, the best production, the best documentary, the red carpet moments everyone's waiting for, those happen on Saturday evening and simulcast this year, both on Mzansi Magic and S3. And we'll tell you how to watch, when to watch and where to watch at the end of the conversation. After the Eyewitness News headlines, I'm going to bring in the other two guests who've been waiting patiently to speak to us. Nomsa Paliso, the channel director of local entertainment at Mnet, and Pat van Heerden, who is channel head at S3. They'll be talking to us about the shows from their platforms, which have been nominated, a little bit more about the quality of what is being produced in the South African film and television audience at the moment, and what they've both observed over careers in the broadcast industry that have spanned several decades. So looking forward to that continued conversation. If you've got a question for any of them, give us a call on 0214. We continue the conversation about the SA Film and Television Awards, which are going to be handed out next weekend, celebrating and recognizing excellence in our local television and film industry for the 15th time this year on a virtual platform, simulcast between S3 and Mzansi Magic. And again, I'll repeat the details of where you can watch at what time at the end of this conversation. Right now, though, I want to first share a couple of your listeners' messages and then talk to the two channel heads who are with us about some of the nominees this year. A couple more of your suggestions on your favorite past and present South African productions. Nume Skoli is superb, says a WhatsApp. It's been on my to watch list forever because, of course, I'm very attached to that story and the book on which it was based, and it was a huge privilege for me to interview the late author John Fredericks at the time the book came out. I need to remedy the fact that I haven't yet seen the movie. You're absolutely right. Cutthroat Met Rugby, an ongoing series on Showmax, says Jean, that I'm finding absolutely brilliant. Die in Edgemead saying the 2008 series called Ella Blue, which was set in the 60s and the turbulent politics of the time, was absolutely brilliant and still sticks in my mind. And then this one from Anonymous about the nominees this year, saying the best nominated feature film this year is definitely Stum from Lo Venter. It is quite harrowing, but really brilliant. It's one of three feature films nominated in that category. Griquistat is one of them, and the other, I confess, is the one I'm holding out hope for, because Riding with Sugar, you may recall we interviewed the director late last year, and the way Sunugunera spoke to us about what it took to get that film made and the passion and the commitment that he poured into that project touched me so deeply that day that I'm really holding out hope for him. I don't want to choose favorites, though. I'll rather ask my guests to do that. Next up is Nomsa Paliso, who is channel director of local entertainment at Mnet. Nomsa, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Pipa. Thanks for having us.
Before we talk about the nominees, just a general comment. I mean, as a channel manager at Mnet, you obviously provide a platform for so many of the productions that are being highlighted this year, often the first opportunity for an audience to see them. How would you reflect on the appetite for local entertainment? There was a time when South Africans sort of had a bit of a complex and thought that what we produced just couldn't be as good as international productions. Has that shifted?
It has shifted almost 100%, I can guarantee you. I mean, our stronghold in terms of our audiences is what we offer from a local offering. So even, you know, whether it's Legacy or Gertrude Met Rugby, and even in the mass market with Mzansi, that's really where the more than 140 nominations for us came from. So yeah, we're loving ourselves as South Africans. And I think that the one thing that stands out for me is how the production quality has increased over the years, you know, so there is nothing that is inferior about our productions. People are really, really going out there and giving it their best shot. And yeah, we're just getting better every year.
I really agree. You know, I think a lot, to the same extent, a lot can be said the same of the SA music industry, that once upon a time, maybe we were right in going, we're struggling to get to that level. I don't think you can say that anymore. We hold our heads up high across the entertainment spectrum with the quality that is coming from the rest of the world. So it's wonderful to hear that enthusiasm for the local productions. Now, you said 114 nominations for MNET shows this year. You must be very chuffed with that. Do you want to chat to us about a couple of the sort of front runners that have really got you excited?
We are very excited, particularly because, you know, as Makhosa Bana said, we really, really had a tough year. And the way that the industry just rose up in terms of continuing to carry the nation in terms of providing entertainment, because remember, they were amongst the first people to go back to work in terms of production. Yes, we had production breaks in the beginning, about 5 weeks. But after that, you know, Even us as broadcasters, we really made sure that the protocols were quickly enforced and rolled out. So we made sure that people had entertainment. But I think for us, some of the things that stand out are the things that we tried out for the first time. So you would see that a lot of people are loving Legacy.
Yep.
And MNET never really had a telenovela, right? So this was really a tryout for us after Egoli. So we had this hiatus where there wasn't a long form for MNET. And Legacy just, you know, it just came to the party. So we're very excited about Legacy in terms of the nominations. And we think that we're going to take it. but yeah, a lot of the stuff that we have, I mean, we've got a lot of nominations. All our telenovelas are nominated, and it's not just about story for us, you know. There's we've been nominated for cinematography, we've been nominated for wardrobe, so it just shows that, you know, we across the value chain, we're really bringing it, you know. So we're very excited about where we've been, and it's also for us that one of the big things that we wanted to do, particularly if you look at what we did with Gomorrah, is really to introduce new faces, right? Mm-hmm. So that there's always freshness. And that was really one of our main focus in terms of the past year, to bring in new faces and, yeah, give them the opportunity to shine.
Nomsa, in terms of sort of ongoing production of new content, you mentioned that the industry was relatively quick to get back to production, but a very different kind of production with all kinds of constraints on how you can shoot and where you can shoot and who can be together on set. Is it starting to get back to any kind of normal, or do you envisage that it's going to be like that for quite some time?
We are a bit concerned about the third wave that is being threatened now, because there has been some form of relaxation in terms of how they can shoot. Because remember that when we went back, it was very strict. It was only about 20 people in in an area. So it was a bit of a challenge. So those have been relaxed a bit about the possible wave three. But because we're already rolling with the protocols, it will be very easy for us to then, you know, just go back. But what we are going to miss out on, the creative things that we would want to do, you know, your location shoots can't be as easy as they would have been if you didn't have COVID. So there's still a lot of maneuvering for us. But the production industry has just been amazing. They are very creative and innovative. They come up with solutions more than problems.
Hmm. Great way of thinking about it. Nomsa Palisa, thanks for joining us, Channel Director of Local Entertainment at MNET. Let me bring in Pat van Heerden, who must have had an absolute roller coaster of a year. Pat has worked in this industry for decades and has previous experience in directing and producing feature films and documentaries and wearing many other hats. But for the purposes of this conversation, took over the role of head of the S3 bouquet at the SABC. I think it was at the start of 2020. Pat, with obviously no idea of what kind of a roller coaster year lay in store for you, restructuring at the SABC, and then, as Makhosa Zana has mentioned, the massive increase in appetite for television content under lockdown. You must be sort of, are you heaving a sigh of relief yet, sort of pinching yourself at disbelief of what's gone on in the last year? How are you feeling?
It's very, very funny. I mean, I don't know a more startling year and a harder year, I think. I mean, for the industry and people working in the industry as well as in broadcast.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, the lay of the land just changed so rapidly. You know, one, audience habits changed. Then, you know, people couldn't produce ordinarily. We didn't have a schedule. We didn't have people making products. And then we lost Issy Dingo at S3, and it was just a total roller coaster. And the process, 189 process, I think, was very difficult. But at the same time, there's something very challenging about creating a platform like S3 for a sort of progressive millennial audience. And I'm excited by the project, but we've just been given a lot of curveballs. I mean, even at the thought, if you have to go and advertise your shows on billboards, how many cars are driving past then during lockdown? How do you even advertise your
show? Almost none, yeah. I mean, everything got turned on its head, Pat, and what you said was so pertinent there about audience habits changing.
Yeah,
You know, broadcasting has got to be nimble, and particularly nimble at times like these. And when you're working with shows that require the input of hundreds of people and the planning of hundreds of schedules, it's not that easy to turn the ship all of a sudden when viewing habits change. I would imagine a huge part of the challenge must have been being fast enough in responding to the changes.
Yeah, and we're dealing with quite a huge bureaucracy and a lot of processes because it's a public broadcaster. Yeah. And it just is, we have to get a lot more nimble. And every day, the landscape of television is changing. We have new players coming into the market. As you know, Amazon is coming in, Tracy's coming in, Disney's launching. It's just a really moving environment, which it's one of the most difficult things to navigate right now. Mm. But the only thing that we do have, you know, in our favor, it's basically free TV, and it's S3, and it's a communication platform. So there is an opportunity for citizens to sort of reclaim this platform.
Interesting.
So it is exciting, even in the moving landscape.
Now, Pat, next weekend, SABC nominees all over this list for the SAFTAs. I know it's like asking you to choose between your children, but do you want to mention a couple of the nominations that you're particularly excited about at S3?
Obviously, I mean, comedy is one of the hardest genres, I think, to get right. And S2 has managed to get a lot of nominations for comedies, which is just so fantastic. And The Riviera, I think, is mostly from a Cape Town production team. Mm-hmm. It's the wonderful Juanita Adams, who is the creator of the story. But there are these two fantastic people called Laddie Bosch and Lucilla Blackenberg. I think they live in Musenberg now. But they started with the SABC with Project 10 in 2004. And I remember them. They were so funny. And it's just wonderful to see them nominated for such a funny and well-made show. So, you know, and that they've been part of being supported by the public broadcaster, and they've really grown in their careers. So I think it's such a wonderful, great partnership too. And they're funny as hell, both of them. And then obviously Skiem Sam on SABC One, which is kind of, you know, sort of pure public broadcasting entertainment where the stories are all about sort of coming into manhood, and that's in its ninth season. And then S3 with, in terms of the SABC bouquet, with the least nominations, but watch this space. That's going to change in the coming years. But we've got the lead in sort of presenting categories, I suppose, because we have a lot of lifestyle shows. And then great, The Hectic on 3, which is our children's program, which is about innovation, science, and kids' exploration. And that has 3 nominations. So we're quite excited about those. And hopefully next year, and the next year, we're going to like do more nominations. We only have 40 this year.
But as you say, watch this space. Pat van Heerden, thanks for joining us today, channel head at S3. So there are a lot of categories. We can't talk about all of them. All I can say is may the best man or woman or team win for each of those. It's been exciting to hear the enthusiasm for an industry which has gone through so much in the past year. I'm going to finish by coming back to Makosazana Kanyile, the CEO of the National Film and Video Foundation. Makosazana, hopefully having heard all of this conversation, we have listeners who are going to want to tune in and watch the broadcast next weekend. Won't you finish by telling us where they can do that, please?
Absolutely. Pippa, if you'll allow me, I just want to answer your question that you asked at the start of the show. We have 95 categories altogether,
okay.
So that's a whopping 95. So absolutely, the main show will be on Saturday, the 22nd of May, from 1900 on Mzansi Magic Channel 161 on DSTV and S3 on SABC. And of course, there will be a red carpet event from 18:30, also simulcast on both channels, and the Craft Awards, will be streamed live on the SAFTA's YouTube channel at 1900, hosted by your multi-talented Tracy Langer and SA's funny girl and much-loved celebrity Coconut Kells, and that will be on the 25th of May.
It's going to be worth watching for the hosts alone, no doubt.
Absolutely.
Okay. Makwazazana, thank you so much for joining us today, and I know a lot of hard work has gone into this event from you and the team, particularly given the unique circumstances this year. Thanks for making such a chunk of your time to chat to us today, and I hope everything goes off seamlessly next weekend.
Thank you so much, Pippa, and I just also want to extend my warm thank you to our broadcast partners, both Mnet and S3. We could not have done this without them, and thank you so much for the opportunity once again.
It's our great pleasure. Makwazazana Khandile, CEO of the National Film and Video Foundation, and thanks again to Nomsa Piliso of Mnet and Pat van Heerden of S3. Throughout lockdown, your TV has played the best supporting role in helping you keep your sanity. All the drama you watched distracted you from the drama in your own life. The comedy kept you laughing. All the variety kept you entertained. Now the South African Film and Television Awards, the SAFTAs, want to help you honour, celebrate and thank the people who made it all possible. The SAFTAs will be simulcast on Mzansi Magic, Channel 161 on DSTV and on S3 on 22nd of May from 7 p.m.